From this morning's second reading, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors. Be angry, but do not sin. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now that is a tall order. And that is only one list out of many in the Old and New Testaments. The Bible is full of virtues to be embraced and vices to be avoided. It is no wonder that so many people, including many Christians, think that being a Christian is a matter of following a long and never-ending list of rules and regulations. In fact, when you pile all the virtues and vices listed in the Bible into a single pile, it is overwhelming. And so most of us, most of the time, just limp along, trying to be reasonably decent human beings and trying not to do too much damage along the way. But just limping along won't cut it. We are meant to become, each of us in his or her own unique way, the glorious human beings that God created us to be. We sell ourselves short when we just limp along. And the lists of virtues and vices that we keep running up against in these readings are markers pointing toward what can help to make us glorious or what can diminish and ultimately destroy that glory. I don't know about you, however, but I find that even the words virtue and vice tend to turn me off. What are virtues and vices? Many people would define them as ways of being good and bad. But even those words, good and bad, too often feel like heavy lumps in the pit of the stomach, anything but glorious. Perhaps it is because they are most often used when we are young in phrases like be good, or bad boy, or bad girl, as the case may be. And that most often has more to do with pleasing our parents or at least keeping from annoying them, than it does with becoming a glorious human being. But virtues and vices are not just ways of being good or ways of being bad in that sense. In living a human life, we are not just trying to please some great parent in the sky. We are trying to become fully and gloriously human as God has created us to be. The word virtue comes from the Latin word virtus, which means an excellence or a strength. And the word vice comes from the Latin word vitium, which means a defect or a weakness. So what the biblical lists of virtues and vices are referring to are the excellences or strengths for being human, and the defects or weaknesses that tarnish or destroy our humanity. It is not a matter of following the rules. It is not a matter of being good and avoiding being bad. It is a matter of acquiring the strengths and excellences for being human and seeking to be rid of the weaknesses and blemishes which diminish that humanity. We tend to feel warm and comfortable when we think of strength, and we tend to get cold and nervous when we think of weakness. Strength and weakness. Even just saying them or hearing them, you can feel the up and down of the psyche as it resonates with those words. When we think of strength, I suspect that most of us think first of the ability to move things and to make things happen. And most often that is in terms of physical force, the ability to push someone or something around. Look at our movies and our television shows. The vast majority of the dramatic shows end up with the strong good guys shooting up or pinning down the weaker bad guys. And it's even better when the strong good guys overcome an even stronger bad guy. And there are situations where that strength, which is physical force, is necessary. The problem comes that many people think that that is the only form of strength. If we lived alone, each of us an isolated being, dependent entirely on ourselves for survival. Then physical strength, the ability to force our will on others, would be the primary form of strength. But we are not isolated individuals. We need community and society. We human beings must have each other. Without human community, none of us would survive very long after birth. But even as we reach adulthood, our survival and certainly our well-being requires a complex network of human relationships. Now, even in families and well-organized societies, there are times when the use of physical strength is necessary. But if that were all we employed in all our personal relationships, we soon wouldn't have any. That means that we need to expand our understanding of strength beyond mere physical strength. And so we come back to where we began, with the virtues. And now we can begin to understand the virtues as strengths. For strength in the general sense is anything that enhances the existence or well-being of something. Human virtues, therefore, are those behaviors that enhance the existence and well-being of human beings. And in human communities, there are many times when the stronger thing, that which will enhance the well-being of the people involved, is to refrain from using physical strength. A simple illustration. In raising children, a whack on the backside will often result in a quick change in behavior. It doesn't take much time. It doesn't require any patience or cleverness. Nonviolent alternatives for disciplining children do take time. They take patience, and sometimes they take an incredible amount of ingenuity. So the temptation is to whack the child when they misbehave. But in most cases, relationships will be stronger and happier if the time, patience, and ingenuity for alternatives are taken. Constant use of physical punishment with children is strongly correlated with higher probability of violent crime and numerous arrests in later life. Patience and ingenuity are far stronger in the long run than physical force in turning children into mature adults. For this purpose, physical violence is a weakness. At the other end of the human spectrum, between nations, I am a dual U.S. and Canadian citizen, and so I keep an eye on things south of the border. In the U.S., the military budget is roughly $600 billion a year. There are almost 1.5 million people on active duty in the armed forces, with another 1 million in the reserves, and around 750,000 civilians employed by the agency euphemistically called the Department of Defense, not counting all the people who work in the supporting industries. One of the current candidates for the presidency of the United States is also an ordained Southern Baptist minister. In the candidates' debate last Thursday evening, he said that the purpose of the military is to kill people and break things. And he said it without the slightest indication of regret that that is so. We seem resigned to the idea that warfare is normal, if unfortunate, in the interaction between nations. But might it not be, in fact, a weakness? Many people assume that there is no alternative to arming for war. But might it not be that $600 billion a year and the energy and ingenuity of 2.5 million people in the military, 750,000 civilians, and the countless hundreds of thousands employed in the defense and armaments industries could come up with effective ways of blocking military attacks and develop less lethal ways of resolving international crises? I don't know. It has never been tried. But might there not be something stronger than war? The virtues are not weakness in the face of strength. When we are called to speak the truth, to put away bitterness and anger, to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as our second reading calls us to do, we are not being assigned to a position of weakness. We are being called to exercise the kinds of strength that are necessary to enable us to survive and to thrive as a human community, as God intended.